Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Up Next on Post Wrestling, and it is a very special show today. It is Saturday, not the usual time I would be recording, but we had some worlds colliding last night in Las Vegas. WWE, AAA, worlds collide, and I can't do this review alone. I'm joined for the first time making their Post Wrestling debut, Cubs fan. Cubs, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. It's great to be on. Post-wrestling's a great site. It's great to be part of the audio for a change.
It's great to have you on here. I first kind of became aware of you during the pandemic, because Braden and I just started doing, you know, I'm a bartender usually by trade, and like can't really do that when there's a global pandemic going on. So I was watching even more wrestling during those times, and we were watching Triple Mania and a lot more lucha than we used to do, and we were doing reviews for Triple Mania and stuff. And however, here in Canada, it's not so easy. It's not as easy as just being thrown on YouTube. And it was your Twitch stream that we were able to watch these shows on and enjoy. So first of all, thank you for that. And Braden and I have kind of sort of sneakily, unofficially became the lucha guys on Post Wrestling. We love going to support Demand Lucha here in Toronto, in Parkdale. They put on awesome stuff and get to see a lot of people we see in AAA and CMLL. And yeah, we've done a few of these sort of worlds collide. It's in this weird kind of weird place in WWE. It's kind of NXT. You've got some NXT talent there, so it's kind of in our wheelhouse, but obviously there's the main roster stuff going on. There's the AAA talent as well. So Braden and I have kind of taken claim of it. But he's right now in Japan enjoying a lot of stuff over there. Looks like he's having an awesome time. He'll be back very soon. John Pollock, the patriarch of Post Wrestling, kind of put us together to do this, and I'm super excited, man. Like you seem to be like the in kind of like North America, the guy when it comes to lucha. And yeah, just wanted to kind of chat with you a little bit before we go into the review, kind of let our audience maybe know who you are, our audience who aren't familiar with you perhaps, and how long you've been following lucha and AAA, and what got you into it, and yeah, just a little bit of background for you.
Yeah, I have been covering Lucha Libre now for over two decades, I guess it is. I was a person who was watching everything I could during the late 90s, during the Monday Night Wars. And when WCW went away, some of my friends had started to watch CMLL because it was on Galavision and US cable at that time. Like, as someone who was just like used to watching everything I could, I saw everything I could that I did not have to actually pay extra for. I thought, oh, this Lucha show is free and I can get that too. And I started getting into for there. And at that point, there weren't many good resources for Mexican wrestling information on the internet. So I started doing a blog as much like, if I'm going to figure this out, maybe I can figure it out for everybody else. And it kind of progressed and grew and got a little bit more serious over time. So I have a blog that I run called luchablog.com that I'm currently doing detailed news updates about everything Mexican wrestling, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then I also help run a Wikipedia dedicated to Lucha Libre called Lucha Wiki. And I have a database site that has a bunch of Lucha Libre results and lineups, historical and new, that aren't converted in like the big cage match sites too, called Lucha DB. So there's a lot of different little Lucha Libre projects that I've been doing so long that I think people have come to know me as a Lucha Libre guy. But I think some of it's just, it's not a space as explored as in depth as maybe Japanese wrestling or definitely US wrestling.
And you said like it's, you know, it was, this information was kind of hard to like come by. So you decided to sort of take it on yourself. Like, how were you going about that? How were you finding all this information and stuff? Were you like tape trading and like, do you, I assume you speak Spanish as well. Do you, that makes it a bit more accessible. And like, how were you going about finding all this stuff, collating all this information to put out there for everyone else?
I actually did not speak Spanish when I started. And like, depending on who you listen to, I do not speak Spanish well right now. But I did a lot of learning of Spanish. I did a lot of translation software. It was an era where there were a lot of Spanish language wrestling boards where I could go and find information and try to figure out what was actually going on. It was a time where I had some friends who would help me get Lucha Libre magazines, which were still very popular in Mexico in the early 2000s. And we could find out different results happening somewhere. And some of it was just as easy as like the official websites existed, but they weren't, but they're Spanish language only. So just like collating information that was not being put together elsewhere. And over time built up more information, more people I could talk to the point where like I've been to AAA's office and talked to Dorian Rodan at a time. I've talked to people in CMLL. So it just like building a warehouse of information and just talk and working at it every day to get a little bit better at it.
Awesome. And I assume your Spanish now is better than it was then. I'm now day 682 on Duolingo in my Spanish, and I can't say it's very good at all. But
no, I am like, because I restarted just to have something to do during the pandemic. Like, how you started Lucha Libre, I need something to fill up time. So mine's like 1,000 or something. But I still feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm getting good at Duolingo and not getting good at Spanish itself. I'm figuring out the game more than I am figuring out the language.
Yeah, it's making sure you don't let that streak die rather than actually try and learn some words. That's definitely where I am with that. You know, the beginning of this year around WrestleMania time, we heard about this kind of acquisition of AAA from WWE. This is now what our third show. We had the Triple Mania show. We had the Other Worlds Collide. Now this Worlds Collide. How have you been finding this so far as someone who has been following AAA for a long, long time? What have you liked so far about the kind of WWE AAA and what stuff maybe don't you like, or what are you maybe concerned about or excited about with this acquisition?
It's a mixed bag, which I think I feel the same thing about the show we're talking about. There are parts of it where having access to WWE talent has made for better shows because the AAA roster for various reasons was becoming thinned out over the last couple of years. So having an influx of WWE people where you can get the LWO guys involved, you get Dragon Lee, it makes for better shows. But you can also tell that the feel of the show, the style of the show, the style of wrestling has changed to a much more WWE product. There are parts of the AAA type of matches that were overdone and annoying and I didn't like, but it also feels like it still feels like it's figuring out where the balance is between a WWE presentation and what AAA was doing as Mexican Lucha Libre before. And I think it's probably leaning too much towards a WWE way for me to like it. But I think it's also for their fans, I think it's something, it's hitting a lot better for them than it is for me right now.
Yeah, like I'm not an expert on AAA or Lucha Wrestling, but have been kind of dabbling in it the last few years since the pandemic. And for me, some of the stuff I really enjoy about AAA in particular is kind of the, trying to think of the right word, almost like car crash nature of it.
The chaos.
And, you know, it's just some ridiculous stuff. And I think they, I'd say probably my favorite thing about Triple Mania was that, like, Royal Rumble they did, because you got a lot of that. You got a lot of the wackiness, a lot of the crazy characters mixing it up, and felt like, you know, didn't feel quite as polished as maybe your WWE product. And that's kind of one of the things I like about it. But then we, you know, I'm used to tuning into watching Triple Mania and seeing some incredibly bloody hair versus mask match with Hugo Savinovic unnecessarily taking a blade job and that kind of thing. And, you know, that was something that I found was missing from that show. Now, Worlds Collide is more of a WWE branded show. It's more like our wrestlers be their wrestlers, that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be interesting moving forward, more the sort of pure AAA branded shows, your Triple Manias, etc., to see where it is from there. Even like the, like, how do you feel about the ring changing? More of a WWE style ring than your six-sided ring that AAA had.
Yeah, I think because AAA had gotten away from using the six-sided ring, it does not feel a bit of a difference. But it's like, you like the things that are unique about a promotion. You don't like seeing them disappear as much. And that was something that AAA had that no one else had. I don't know that the wrestlers always love that, because it's just a strange environment, but it is like one of those unique things that I wish they had kept going.
Yeah, we've had the same kind of conversations around TNA, right? Like, as soon as they moved away from that, it kind of feels like it lost something that was part of their identity and their what made them unique and stand out from other promotions. Although, yeah, I have heard in interviews a lot of wrestlers being like, I'm not particularly a fan of those six-sided rings. Those ropes hurt a lot more. Well, let's dive into the review, I think. Worlds Collide. From Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Cox Pavilion at Thomas and Mack Center. And we see Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and The Undertaker arrive. Three Lucha Libre legends just arriving in Las Vegas here. Undertaker, I believe, has been more on the like creative team for AAA. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's like the reports vary about how deeply he's involved, but he's definitely been attending all the, even the tapings that are not airing in the US, he's been at all the AAA shows.
Interesting. We see Penta arrive, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio, and then El Hijo del Vikingo, the AAA mega champion, arrives, and Vegas are booing this man. Can you maybe fill in for our audience exactly why Vikingo's getting all these boos? Like, for a lot of us, we saw him, you know, a couple of years ago having that dream match with Kenny Omega and just lighting the world on fire in AEW. And now he seems to be incredibly hated as the babyface they're presenting in AAA. Maybe fill us in why these audience aren't taking to Vikingo.
I think it started because when Vikingo was champion, the AAA business was not going as well. It was a down period in business. And when Vikingo was champion, he'd be doing the match third or fourth from the top, where he was defending against, like, the last Triple Mania he defended his title against was against Daga, Speedball Bailey, and Jack Cartwheel, which those good names have a really great match. But those AAA fans saw that he was taking down the prestige of the title by wrestling mid-card guys instead of the top guys they wanted to see. So when they gave the title to Alberto Del Rio, and he started defending against the top guys in AAA instead, and win all the time and look like a dominant champion, then that was the champion they had been looking for. So going back to Vikingo after Alberto told him was like, you're going back to a person when AAA wasn't as cool and he wasn't doing as well as champion. They saw it as a backward step. And I think they also saw it as like WWE putting their influence on AAA to change AAA. Why they decided to boo Vikingo instead of the promotion is just kind of how fans react to things. But at this point, like, I don't think a lot of people in Vegas are keeping up with AAA TV every week. I think it's just they're booing him because they saw him get booed at Triple Mania. And they know that that's the thing to boo him at this point. I was kind of hoping it didn't happen. I was kind of hoping maybe the U.S. fans would react differently than the Mexican fans. But once he showed up and he got those boos, it was like, this is probably not going to work out for him much longer in this position.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What was your sense of this crowd? Like, it did seem very much a WWE crowd going to see it rather than necessarily your Lucha crowd. This is in Vegas, it's not Mexico. And we do see those like copycat crowds, and Dominic has been getting very popular. So I wasn't particularly surprised, but it does seem that that has caught on and people did take notice of that from Triple Mania and carrying it through now. And it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Obviously in the main event, him dropping the title to Dominic, could we see down the line a bit of a double turn between the two? Do you see them trying to maintain Vikingo as a babyface moving forward, or just go with these boos and position him more as a heel? What are your thoughts there?
I think it's a tricky situation because his wrestling style does not really lend himself to be a good heel. He's like the underdog, a flying babyface. It's a tough transition to a heel character. But we'll get into it later, but Grande Americano was involved with the finish, so that might be his next program. They kind of hinted that at a taping they did in Mexico that those two might be fighting next. And in Mexico, Grande Americano is being received as the face of the feud. So he might be worse in the situation where he's booed regardless of if he's a good guy or not still.
We have Ada Cuevas singing the Mexican national anthem. I do apologize in advance for any mispronunciations on this show. And then Lillian Garcia singing the U.S. national anthem. We go to our commentary teams. The U.S. commentary team made up of Corey Graves, JBL, and Conan. We saw these three on the last show. Obviously, Conan and Corey on the first Worlds Collide. What do you make of this three-man booth?
It's kind of weird because I think it's all three men sometimes appear to be heels. I mean, Conan will be against the baby faces, if it's the right baby faces. JBL is normally a heel. And then Corey, even at sometimes, seemed like, I don't know if it was just because he was hanging out with those two, but it was just, he was also against the baby faces at points. It was just, I think the commentary has improved, though, generally show from show. I think adding JBL so Conan did not have to carry as much of the talking has helped Conan out. There's less of him asking to tell a story before he tells a story. But they kind of have a better idea of the characters as it goes along. It's not like my favorite announcing team, but it's not something that's actually getting in the way of the broadcast at all.
Yeah, I agree. And there are some funny one-liners, maybe unintentionally sometimes from Conan, which I do always enjoy.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We have attendance reported of 2,485, obviously nowhere near as big as some of their previous shows. But I thought they made this place look good. I thought they made it sound good. A few technical glitches with the lights aside later on in the show. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty hot crowd for, 2,500 people. We see Penta. Sorry, go for it.
Yeah, sorry to jump in. Like, this is also the difference WWE made. Because if AAA had tried to run this own show themselves in Las Vegas, there's no way they would be getting 2,500 people. And especially at the ticket prices they were charging. So it is making a difference. It is helping them make inroads in the U.S.
Penta comes out and he cuts a promo in Spanish. He's asking how everyone's doing, gets everyone chanting Mexico, and just poses with the Mexican flag, just getting this crowd going to kick things off. And we see our first match is Octagon Jr., Laredo Kid, La Parca, and Mascarita Sagrada. And they're taking on the team of the LWO, Lince Dorado, and Abismo Negra. And Conan says minis used to be used just for comedy, but now we can see what these guys can actually do. And JBL says how much he'd like to have a get a trash can involved with Mascarita Sagrada, and he would hit him like he's Aaron Judge. We go to the match, and there's a big top rope super Frankensteiner from Laredo Kid to Del Toro, but Del Toro lands on his feet, follows up with a Spanish fly, and almost lands on his head with this one. Look kind of nasty. Wild tags in and delivers a standing moonsault for a two count, and Conan talks about being with Jake the Snake the night before in Vegas, and kind of referenced maybe spending all his money at a strip club. This is when La Parca comes in and starts dancing, probably different from the dances that that Conan and Jake the Snake were seeing. Wild starts to dance with him, and then La Parca gets on top of him, gets the better of him, and as he's delivering his moves, he's still kind of doing a bit of his dance, a little bit of the Thriller. There's this beautiful-looking twisting DVD from La Parca. Maybe we could just pause there, because obviously we've had LA Park, La Parca, different iterations. This is now a new version of La Parca, right?
Yes, this is the third La Parca. He used to wrestle as Brazo de Oro Jr., and they've kind of hinted that it's the same guy. But he's just debuted with the gimmick earlier this year. I thought when he first came in, like, he's always been a pretty good wrestler, but getting the comedy, getting the dancing, he was having trouble working that in. And this was his best performance by far. So by merging in the entertainment part of the La Parca character with the wrestling, he already knew how to do well.
Mascarita Dorada then comes in, who takes down Abismo Negra with a head scissors, and there are quick tags between the AAA team. We get a Michinoku driver from Laredo Kid, and then a headstand into a moonsault from Octagon. Del Toro comes in with a springboard splash for a two, and then Mini Abismo Negro comes in with a great-looking pop-up power slam to Laredo Kid, and then starts posing to a chorus of boos from this crowd. Mascarita Dorada comes in and does this crazy rotation, like five times around Abismo Negra before taking him down. That looked great. There's then a springboard splash from Lince, a falcon arrow to Joaquin Wilde. The crowd are now going nuts at this point. There's this leaping top rope Hurricane Rana to Abismo Negro to the floor. And then Del Toro comes in, hitting a coast-to-coast to Octagon Jr. Dorado follows up with a shooting star press, but Mascarita Dorada breaks up the pin. Everyone's just flying in at this point, hitting their stuff. La Parca comes in with an RKO, and Corey is asking Conan if it's called an RKO in Mexico, and Conan's just like, absolutely not. There's then an acai moonsault from Dorado to La Parca. Octagon flies in with a crossbody. Del Toro with a tornillo. Dorado with a tornillo. And then Wild hits his crazy slingshot, just flying across the ramp there. And now we're left with the minis in the ring, and Mascarita Dorada spins around Abismo Negro again,
takes him down and gets the pin in 18 minutes, 1 second in what I thought was a really enjoyable opener for this show.
Yeah, I really liked the match too. There were some moments where like the WWE tag rules kind of threw me compared to Lucha, because they would have to stop and make the tag and reset, where the Lucha match would just keep on flowing. But otherwise, especially like the last third of that match when they were just all going, and that dive sequence where Wild almost overshoots everybody with how far he flies, that was really impressive. The multiple head scissors spot with Dorada and Mini Abismo stuck out to me, because in AAA, Mini Abismo is a character that they don't use that often. I think he's based in El Paso, whereas, and he's just not full-time. So it was a kind of surprise to see him on the lineup. And then when he walked out there, it's like, he just doesn't seem like the same guy I saw a year ago or something. And then when we got to the head scissors spot, it finally made sense. It wasn't the guy who has been Mini Abismo. It was Demos El Demono, who was just on the Dean show last week, who is Masquerade Sagrado's best opponent, wearing the Mini Abismo Netgirl gear, as like working both promotions in the short bit of time, which was really surprising. But
interesting.
He was like, he's always been, he does a lot of hardcore, a lot of deathmatch stuff, but he's always been like a great base and a great opponent for Masquerade Sagrado. So if they're going to use him, if they're going to use Sagrado more, they really should bring in this guy as Mini Abismo or whatever name they want to give him, because those two were great as usual against each other.
Yeah, I that's super interesting. Thank you. I really enjoyed this match. I think actually this was probably my favorite match of the show. I just got that real Lucha feel, what you want from it. Just a lot of action, a lot going on, a lot of cool high spots. And I do wish, you mentioned the tag rules. I do wish that they'd implement Lucha tag rules for these shows. I think there are just certain things that you should keep hold of that makes it authentically different. And you've got your commentary team there that can talk us through that. And that, you know, as if someone leaves the ring, you can come in a Lucha tag match. You don't necessarily need to tag. I would like that. But all these shows, and I always say the same when they come back down to NXT, just remind me how good Joaquin Wild and Del Toro are. And just wish they were used more on the main roster and taken a bit more seriously on the main roster. We have a tag division on Raw, which is completely non-existent. And I'd love to see these guys getting more of a push. And I do love that we have shows like this that can showcase some of the, you know, lesser used mid-card WWE talent. But these two should be mixing it up with, you know, those SmackDown teams, your Fraxiums of the world and Street Profits and all that, because I think they always put on such great matches.
Yeah, I really enjoy the work. I've enjoyed it back since they were both separately in AAA over the years. So I am glad they're getting at least the opportunity to show what they can do in longer matches when these shows come along. And I would hope that even if they do get featured more Raw or SmackDown, that they remain being regulars on these shows if they're going to be like once every month, once every 2 months.
Absolutely. We see Vero Rodriguez, who is interviewing Rey Mysterio, when Dominic interrupts and tells Mysterio that he is going to be the first mega champion and double champion, the first Mysterio to be able to do these things, and tells Rey that when he wins tonight, Rey will have to put the title around his waist. And Ray goes, yeah, well, if that happens, okay, I will do that. And Dom says, thanks, son. And Finn Balor shows up and says, tonight, you're going to show the world that you're the best and you're going to win that championship alone. For me, this segment with Ray really tipped off. For me, that we're getting a title change in that main event.
It did too. And then in that Penta opening interview, Penta ended it by saying that whoever wins, he wants a challenge for a title. And at that point, I thought that Vikingo might hold on to it, but as soon as Penta said he was challenging for it, I thought, well, that has to be Dom. That would make a lot more sense as a match they do for AAA than Penta versus Vikingo. So I was hoping Vikingo would somehow figure it out, but at that point, I knew that was probably going to be a title change.
We go next to our AAA Reina de Reina Championship number one contenders match. Natalia taking on Fabi Apache.
We've seen Fabio Pache a couple of times now in NXT. Tell us a little bit about her. Where does she stand in AAA? Like, is she one of the top women in the promotion? And yeah, just a little background around Fabio Pache for our audience.
She was one of the top women for the promotion. She's really a Japanese trained Mexican woman. She spent a lot of time in RCN and other promotions in Mexico. And she brings that kind of perspective and style to Mexican wrestling. And her father was a longtime undercard, great wrestler, but just was too small. But everyone knew he was a great wrestler, and he was a trainer for AAA for many years. So she's like a very respected worker. She works stiffer and more realistic than a lot of different luchadors, and she kind of holds matches to like a higher standard, which has not always endeared her to the people she's worked with. But they had been phasing her out over the last few years, and she actually was finished up after last year's Triple Mania, and then they brought her back, I think specifically so she could do this program with Natalia, because Fabio Pache still, it's like she's still a legend, but she's probably getting closer to the end of her career. But because like everyone knows who she is, and because she's had such a long history in AAA, that once they brought her back, she was immediately a top wrestler again, and it made sense for her to be someone in the hunt for the title. Probably not the person winning the title at this point, but to do this feud worked for what she's done in the past.
And the current champion is Lady Flammer?
Yes, Flammer. I think they've dropped the lady part because they had too many ladies. But yeah, it's okay. Flammer is a popular. She's like the best worker of her group. There's Las Toxicas. And so, but it's also, it's a division like, AAA has not really put a lot of effort in the last few years.
So Natalia comes out in her natty gimmick, as in the kind of shooter. None of the pink, none of her like typical ring gear. And she delivers a discus clothesline and shoulders in the corner, definitely going for a more of a meaner approach. Natty goes for a surfboard and gets Fabio Pache up. Apache breaks out and comes back with a high cross and a big boot for a two count and locks in a cross arm breaker for applying a body lock. Natty tries breaking it with multiple punches to the face. So Apache grabs a guillotine with the body lock still applied. And then there's an ankle lock from Apache, which Natty breaks, goes for another discus clothesline, but eats a second big boot from Apache for a two count. We then have roll-ups back and forth, and then Natty catches with a roll-up, pinning Fabio Pache in 9 minutes, 11 seconds. What did we make of this, Tubbs?
I liked the parts of it when they were working stiff with each other, that discus forearm at the beginning of the match. There was that kick that Bobby did late that looked just really impressive. I don't know. I understand what they were going for with the submission stuff, but I don't know that the fans were as into it as perhaps the wrestlers were. The roll-ups in the post-match really seemed to point that they were going to come back with this match at some point, but it was not so great that I had to see it again.
Yeah, this didn't do a whole lot for me, unfortunately. I didn't think it particularly connected. I want Natty to go, if she's doing this sort of shooter gimmick, I want her to go even further with it. Apart from a couple of strikes, I didn't see her being much different from the regular Natalia. And I think we've seen that side on Bloodsport and stuff where she can bring out more of that meanness. And I just didn't think we quite got it here. I found this a little bit underwhelming, personally. But what do you make as Natty and Flammer as a next match?
I think Natty would not be a bad choice as champion, but then you have the image problem where if you have Dominic being the men's champion and WWE's Natalia as the AAA women's champion, the reigning champions, I'm not sure how well that's going to go over. And Natalia, on some of these outside appearances, has shown more willingness to lose, so maybe it's just a way to build up Blomer for a different one. But like, there's nothing really going on that's exciting about the AAA women's division, so they could really do anything. It'd be just fine for me.
We see Chewy Martinez backstage with The New Day and Big G, Grayson Waller. And he asks them about their new look. They're all in black. Woods has a black cowboy hat on.
And they say that it's not a new look, but it's a new attitude. And Woods says that he's actually now injured. He's got a neck injury after being hit with the Mexican destroyer. And it just proves that this move should get banned. And he has the petition to get signed to ban this move. And he said, even risk death getting on a plane, come here to watch this match tonight. So Grayson Waller is stepping in and they get Chuy Martinez to sign this petition. How have you been finding this version of the New Day recently?
See, I am not watching a lot of WWE product. Okay. So this was very, like, as someone who has not seen them in probably like a half a decade, this is like a very jarring look at the New Day, who looks a lot different than I remember. It's good for them to have a new image and a new look, but it was also, it's very strange to me.
Yeah, for me, I loved the initial, and I could say this about a lot of stuff in WWE recently. I loved the initial turn. The stuff with Big E was great. And then it dropped far too into like comedic heels, and which just, for me, just makes them such a lower mid-card act. The tag division on Raw is non-existent. And yeah, it really hasn't. I'd have loved to have seen them done the turn with Big E and actually been like way more meaner and serious. And it's unfortunate, like, you know, when you do a turn like that, and obviously Big E isn't clear to wrestle. So it's, where is the payoff? And I can't see it's been particularly effective.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the Carousel of Co-Hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go forward to the AAA Tag Team Championship match, Pagano and Psycho Clown taking on the New Day of Kofi Kingston and Grayson Waller. There's an armbar from Psycho Clown to Waller. Waller keeps on kipping up until he gets out of it, and then Psycho Clown poses on the outside next to Woods, who just screams and runs away. Waller starts doing some luchador arm drags of his own, and there's a bit of a stalemate here. And Psycho Clown even offers his hand as a sign of sportsmanship. So Waller shakes it and then clotheslines him and continues the beatdown. There's double drop kicks from Pagano and Psycho Clown to Kofi, and then a split-legged moonsault from Clown to Kofi for a two count. Waller comes in grounding Psycho Clown, but he breaks free, goes to make the tag to Pagano, but he's already been knocked off the apron. And this is where Kofi keeps attempting to rip off the mask of Psycho Clown. He breaks free, delivers a crossbody, but can't capitalize. Finally makes the tag to Pagano, who comes in with a high knee and rolling elbows to the corner. Catches Waller with a swinging neck breaker, a sidewalk slam for a two, and then a con hilo and suicide dive from Pagano. Tandem running knees in the corner, but Waller breaks up the pin. We then get a superplex off the top from Kofi, followed by the elbow drop from Waller. And then Psycho Clown removes his belt, starts whipping everyone. And Corey asks Conan, hey, is that legal in Mexico? Conan just says, yes. Psycho Clown then rips his mask off, revealing sort of the ripped skin version of the mask underneath, which looked very cool. They hit tandem Mexican destroyers. A pop-up uppercut from Clown, and then followed by a magistral cradle to pick up the win. And Psycho Clown and Pagano retain in 16 minutes, 53 seconds.
I thought the match was okay. I think parts of it were good. It just, as we were talking about earlier, this version of AAA does not have the chaos of the old version. And the old version would have, you know, the psycho belt shots would be one of 10 different things you would ask. Should this be a DQ? Because in AAA previously, there really weren't any rules. There were like, if you fouled someone or if you unmasked someone, maybe they would call the DQ if they felt like it that day. But otherwise, it would just be for these two guys in particular, Psycho Clown and Pagano, were like notorious for just having out of control matches that maybe did not hold together. And so to see them just having what is it, like a regular tag match where they're doing arm bars and arm ringers, it's just a complete departure from what I'm used to with those guys. I think given it's them trying to do something that's out of their comfort zone, I think they did fine with it. And I think their opponents worked well too, but it didn't have the attraction and they didn't show the charisma they usually show when they've had those matches in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, when I was saying earlier about some of the like chaos you get when watching AAA, and it's not always the smoothest, prettiest wrestling in the world, but there's just some fun about the car crash nature of it. And these two are the two I think of that sum that up. Like when I think of Pagano, I just think of him, you know, his face covered in blood and just having wild brawls and that kind of thing. And to sort of WWE-ify it and just have a WWE-style tag match, I think it kind of exposes them a little bit as, you know, that the sort of sloppy nature that can be kind of endearing on a AAA just kind of comes across sloppy in a tag match against WWE guys where they're trying to work that style. So this one didn't really, there were some fun moments in it. I like the stuff. Like, I think that Psycho Clown mask is really cool. Like the reveal of the face underneath is really good. But I didn't think it did a whole lot for me. And I'm really not into the New Day and Grayson Waller pairing at the moment either. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting with two and some of the other characters, if you are leaning away with what made AAA, in my eyes, AAA. We have the match. The Wyatt Six come out and they just absolutely destroy Pagano and Psycho Clown and pose with both sets of tag titles at the end. So I assume that is the match we're going to at the next event. We go to our next match. Lola Vice and Mr. Iguana taking on Roxanne Perez and Finn Balor. Mr. Iguana, I would say, since the first couple of shows, has had the most attention from WWE fans. Obviously, he's been on Raw now at this point. He's La Yesca is being sold on the WWE shop. What are your thoughts on Mr. Iguana?
He's a guy I've liked for a long time. I liked him before I was following him before he came to AAA, and was very happy for him to get the opportunities there. He's a guy who's like worked hard to get himself and his character over. So it's great to see it's paying off for him in AAA. I kind of wish it was not as much comedy in WWE, but I think it works better for their audience. I think here it kind of, in this match, it took a little bit away from it because like JBL spent most of the match worrying about Finn Balor's puppet Demonicito, and it kind of distracted from the match they were having up to that point. But I think he's a guy who can adjust. Iguana's a guy who can adjust to the WWE style without giving up his AAA feel as more than most people. So I expect we'll continue to see him being featured prominently on these shows.
We go to the match, and Finn goes for a bag early on, but Iguana drop kicks him and saves this bag. There's then a standoff between standoff between Roxanne and Lola, and then Lola scares Finn off by going for some kick attempts. Perez and Lola are now going at it, and Iguana hits a high cross to Finn for a two count, and then as the ref is distracted, Raquel Gonzalez pulls Iguana out of the ring and starts to beat him down. Iguana keeps on sort of teasing Finn by doing, you know, Iguana like crawling and that kind of stuff. And this is where we see Demonito, Finn Balor's puppet, appear from the apron. Iguana makes the tag to Lola, who starts lighting up Roxanne with kicks. And Lola lets us all know that she is, in fact, Latina, before shaking her bum and delivering the hip attack in the corner. There's the double jump moonsault from Roxanne for a two, and then La Yesca gets thrown into the ring. And then Iguana has La Yesca and goes for this bag and tries to open the bag, but can't seem to get it open, so ends up just throwing it down. And then Balor comes in with Demonito hitting a sling blade a shotgun dropkick, goes for the coup de grace, but gets shoved off by Lola. And then Leyeska gets thrown to the outside in like a tope to take out Demonito. And then Lola hits the spinning back fist to Rox Rez for the win. And we have Lola Vice and Mr. Iguana winning in 11 minutes, 59 seconds.
I thought it's another match where I thought parts of it were good. I thought maybe a little bit too much comedy, but the work in between it was really good. And I think the people liked the comedy, so it just may have been not for me, but successful overall. This was another match, though, where they cut to JC Jane before the match in the crowd watching it. And it kind of gave away that, oh, yeah, Lola Vice has to win this because she has a title shot coming up at No Mercy. Like the segment before where Grayson Waller suddenly in the tag match, that kind of gave you a clue that Grayson Waller's taking the pin and they're trying to find a way out of it. So I think that was a problem up and down the show where the kind of it's not a show where there's a lot of build to these matches. And then they kind of told you, OK, this team is going to win. This person is going to win. It could have used a little bit more intrigue than we got, a little bit more excitement.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought they were like tipping us off quite a lot throughout this show with the results. Yeah, there was some good stuff here. I'm not into the Demonito thing. I just don't think it fits Finn Balor's character. Like, he should be someone who's getting really annoyed by Leyeska and not trying to match it. I don't know. It doesn't overly work for me. What do you think was in the bag? Do you think it was another version of the Iguana? Because he just abandoned this thing. He couldn't get it open and just threw it on the ground.
I thought it was the bag that Baylor brought. So we were supposed to think that Demoncito was supposed to be in it, but then Demoncito was behind them. So I don't think I really understood what they were going for right there.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. I thought Lola looked good. You know, she has got this match with JC coming up soon. And I really like what they've been doing with her on NXT. I've liked the video packages showing her life, showing her family, her crazy dad and her training. And I think she's coming across really well. And I do think she's improving in-ring as well. So putting her on these shows makes a whole lot of sense. Just get as many reps under her as possible, because I feel like she could break out as a star down the line.
Yeah, she's been wrestling in the AAA Mexico shows too, and I think she's been doing well there, and that's helped her as well.
Awesome. And as you mentioned, JC Jane is ringside posing with the NXT Women's Championship. We move on to the AAA Latin American Championship. It's El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. defending against Dragon Lee, Ethan Page, and JD McDonough. The Latin American Championship, is that like the IC title, like the secondary title?
Yeah, that's a good way to position it.
And how long has El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. been this champion for?
He won it back at Triple Mania. So this would be his first defense.
Right, yes. And is he someone you can see them moving up and being like a mega champion contender down the line?
I really got that vibe that they were kind of considering him. Like the video package they use with him posing around the different Mexican monuments and his mask, and even like his promo, I thought his promo was better than usual. I think he wasn't the only AAA guy, I would say that for the show. He's got the size, he's got the background. I believe that, like, I don't know, like, the original AAA plan before they got sold to WWE, they did not seem as high on him, because I think they saw him as a guy who was eventually going to go in WWE. And so now that he's there, I think they may go a bit stronger with him. I could see him being someday the guy to beat Dominic, not probably anytime soon, but I think he fits what WWE would be looking for in a top luchador.
So this was crazy action-packed match. JD hits a beautiful acai moonsault to the floor. Operation Dragon gets blocked. Everyone's coming in, delivering their pump kicks to each other. And JD delivers a headbutt to Ethan Page, but falls down first. This is where we have some technical difficulties where all the lights in the arena come on.
Dragon Lee gets both Paige and McDonagh in the Tree of Woe, delivering a double stomp, dives to the outside on top of Dr. Wagner Jr., and then hits a Liger bomb, but a kick out. This is when the lights go back off and we're back to our regular lighting. There's a top rope Spanish fly from JD to Dragon Lee, and then Dr. Wagner is left in the Tree of Woe. There's a Mexican destroyer from Dragon Lee, followed by the twisted grin from Paige to Lee, which gets broken up by a swanton from Wagner, and then the Wagner driver to McDonagh for the win in 9 minutes 56 seconds, and El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. retains.
I thought, like, I would go with you with the opener as the best match in the show, but this match I thought was not that far behind. I thought they kept up the pace at a much faster pace than the tag matches that had preceded. All the big offense looked good. They gave everyone a bit of a moment, though I think Dragon Lee probably stood out the most of everyone in there. I think they, even though they're like four people who probably have not worked a lot together, they seem like they meshed pretty well. And I thought it was, I think they finished at a good time where like they were still moving along. They hadn't done too much that had like desensitized to what was going on. And I think it came off as a really good presentation.
Yeah, I thought this was a fun match. It felt very like the four ways we often see on NXT. It was very similar to the four way we had at the last Worlds Collide with Ethan Page and Dragon Lee were on that. I think it was Laredo Kid and Javon Evans were the other two in that match. I would have maybe liked another AAA guy in there because just it felt a little bit too WWE for me, but I can't criticize the work here. I say this over and over again on the NXT reviews. I think whoever agents these multi-person matches does a great job in WWE because there's never a downtime. They've kind of got away, or at least disguised it a lot better. The, you know, two guys sleeping on the outside while the other two are going at it. I think there's a lot more motion between all four all the time. They just make it really fun matches to watch. Yeah, I'd put this maybe a notch below the opening tag, but a lot of fun as well.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
And we then see Logan Paul, who has his own Leyeska puppet and feeding it Prime. Can iguanas drink Prime? I don't know. And we go to our main event for the AAA Mega Championship, El Hijo del Vikingo defending against Dominic Mysterio. And as we said, Dom has to go out and do this on his own. That doesn't last very long. Dom goes for a 619 early, but that gets blocked. And then Vikingo crosses the legs of Dom and kind of applies this like surfboard stretch, but across his back, which looked really nice. Dom offers his hand in a sign of sportsmanship, but kicks him in the gut. Vikingo comes in with this head scissor takedown and drop kick, sending Dom to the outside, and then hits this tope suicida head first, which looked lovely. There's the three amigos from Dom, and Dom continues to beat down Vikingo and poses with the AAA championship. Vikingo then leaps off the top rope, but gets caught with a sit-out powerbomb. Dom goes for the 619 again, but gets caught, and then gets planted just face first to the mat. Vikingo drags him to the corner, hits the 450, but it's only a two count. And this is where Bala and McDonagh run out, which causes a distraction, allowing Dom to get back into it, hitting the Michinoku driver for a two count. And then Dom puts a lucha mask and he attempts loading it with the metal plate, but Vikingo takes him out. This is when Dragon Lee runs out to take out Judgment Day, but the numbers get the advantage on him. They're beating him down when Rey Mysterio runs out with a steel chair and just attacks them, chasing Judgment Day to the back. Vikingo then goes up top, hits the 630. It's a one, it's a two,
and the ref gets dragged out, and it's El Grande Americano. This allows Dom to hit the 619 and the frog splash, but there's no referee. The zombie ref runs out. It's a one, it's a two, it's a kick out. Vikingo comes back with a poison rana, tries to remove the mask off of El Grande Americano, but while he's doing this, Dom loads the mask and delivers a running headbutt, goes up top, hip frog splash, and wins the AAA Mega Championship in 18 minutes, 21 seconds. And at the end of the show, Ray comes out and begrudgingly has to strap up his son as Judgment Day come out and celebrate, and the show goes off.
Yeah, I have so much mixed feelings about this main event. It's like, it was absolutely the match and the outcome and even the match style that the people in the crowd wanted to see. But it was also like, in different ways, sad about AAA stuff. It's like, Vikingo should lose. It was not the right time. WWE should not put the title on Vikingo to begin with. I think it would have helped him a lot if he got built up before doing that. And so it's the right move to take him off the title. But it's also watching that match and seeing the WWE version of Vikingo where he does maybe two or three crazy things instead of 15 crazy things like you might have done in AAA. It's like, I'm not really sure if I'm going to get to see the old Vikingo again at that point after seeing that match. And then there are little things that really don't matter in the long run. Like, they're obsessed with this idea that Dom or Grande Americano was loading his mask. And that's a great 70s, 80s U.S. territory thing. That's never been something people have done on Lucha Libre. People, they would do a foul, they would do a mask pull. It doesn't really make a difference, but it's one of those little things that let you know that they really aren't really paying attention to Mexican wrestling, that they're doing what they know, but they have not watched enough to know what works for Mexican wrestling. So, and then the poster kind of gave away that Grande Americano was supposed to be on that show. So when that referee slides to make the count on the 6:30 and shows both his legs outside the ring, he's just kind of waiting for Grande Americano to come out there a bit and pull him out. It was kind of interesting after a match that Dom hugged Grande Americano and the rest of Judgment Day made very unhappy faces. So they continue to go whatever direction they are to eventually breaking that group up. And I think Dom and Ray having the belt stuff at the end, it's like, if they're going to Dom and Ray going for that AAA belt at WrestleMania, I think that'll be a big deal. They keep pushing the idea that Ray never won that title. So at some point, they're probably doing that match. But like, from a WWE standpoint, a lot of the stuff works, makes sense. As a AAA fan, it was like, this is not going to be the AAA I'm going to like going forward, is it? But I can't blame them for doing it. It's working for the people. They're trying to make it work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It becomes another WWE title at that point rather than its own kind of separate thing. I'm not surprised Dom won, and I don't think it's necessarily the worst idea. I think Dom is so popular right now, and I think, Ray eventually winning this, whether it be at a WrestleMania or a big AAA event, will, like, I'm sure that will sell tickets. You know, Rey Mysterio going for this championship, I think will absolutely sell tickets. And Dom has improved so much since the last time they had their match with each other. I thought the match was fine. I think it's clear, you know, since injuries and stuff, that Vikingo's not quite as spectacular as he was a couple of years ago, and which makes it a bit of a weird time, I find, with him. Like, WWE fans have seen him, you know, getting these boos, getting this negative reaction, and I'm not seeing enough that makes him different anymore. You know, he's hitting the 450 and a suicide dive kind of thing, but a lot of guys do that, and obviously his body, like some of the stuff he used to do, he probably can't do anymore. But it's a shame, because I think he's lost a lot of stuff that made him really special. And I don't think his new style has particularly like found something new. Whereas I think an Ospreay, let's say, has developed his style to be a little, I mean, he still takes a lot of risks, but not quite as flippy as he used to be, but still has a moveset which is still equally spectacular.
I don't know if Vikingo is still trying to figure that out a little bit. And then you've got the very, you know, WWE end of the match with multiple run-ins and refs being pulled out and loaded masks and that. So yeah, felt very, very WWE-ified to me. But overall, I thought it was a fun show. I certainly didn't hate watching this. I thought it was a pretty easy watch. There was a lot of fun stuff to have on there, but it didn't maybe feel quite as important as the last couple of shows that I felt. And I think even the promotion of this one didn't quite have the buzz that both Triple Mania and the last iteration of Worlds Collide had.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think there's overall the problem with AAA is that there's no AAA narrative right now. It's just we have these special events and matches just get dropped suddenly, and maybe one or two are built up, but the rest are just matches they've just come up with on that moment. I don't know if they're like waiting for get that US TV deal to start pushing more storylines and doing more stuff in it. But coming out of the show, they built up stuff for future WWE shows, but we don't know when the next AAA special will be. We know that there's a AAA show in Mexico in a couple of weeks, but we don't know. But US fans won't see that and won't know much about it besides what they see on social media. There's just like, there's no sequence of events. There's no narrative or like flow of these events that I think is kind of missing at this point to build wrestlers up. And I think still though, it's like an easy watch. I'm not like, there's definitely been AAA shows where I've come back after 4 hours and thought, wow, that was a complete waste of my time. I should not watch that. With the show, with the W shows, they've been consistently a solid level performance. They don't have as high ceiling as maybe some other shows, but they're never going to be bad. And at least that's something to be thankful for with AAA.
Yeah. Like the TV, how often is it weekly TV they run? And like, how would you go about watching it if you're outside of Mexico?
They have a weekly TV show, but they tape irregularly. They don't like tape every Monday or something. They tape every maybe 3 weeks, and then they split up the different TV shows. And a lot of times, like in the last month, the TV, the order they've taped stuff and the order they're airing it is not the same order. It has not made a lot of sense. It's really a situation where, like, my best guess is they're trying to ride out the contracts they had for media deals before they get bought. And then sometime in January or something, they'll hit a reset button. But if you do want to follow AAA, if you want to see more of it, they post their TV show on Sundays on their YouTube channel. It's about a week or so behind what airs in Mexico, but okay. At least it's a way to keep up on the promotion.
Okay, got you. So, like, I'm surprised they don't push that on WWE, that it's you can watch it on YouTube. I mean, they advertise this, but surely you'd want your fans, you know, to try and actually drive some stories and things to keep up. I'm surprised they haven't advertised that. Maybe it's something they're looking at, an actual destination for it, with WWE trying to eat up all these different TV deals right now. So I'd be interested to see the direction of AAA and WWE in the next year.
Yeah, I think a TV deal is going to be, like, where they get it or how soon they're going to get it is going to be a big thing to tell how the company is going to go for the next few years.
Before we get out of here, I have had the chat inform me. Thank you, Liam Jones, for the $5 super chat, $5 Australian. Thank you very much. Who says Andrade has left WWE, as confirmed by Fightful. So yeah, been moved to the alumni section, and it looks like he's finished up with WWE. I don't know this guy. Like, where do you see Andrade landing up? I was so high on him. Like, if you've been following my stuff, Andrade versus Gargano is from Philadelphia. It's one of my favorite matches of all time. I thought he had such a high ceiling. Didn't really work out in the first run in WWE. Was kind of disgruntled there. Moved to AEW and seemed disgruntled there pretty much right away. And then in WWE, he's just been kind of not really featured at all since his return. What do you see for Andrade? Where do you see him landing after this?
Yeah, I was like so high on view. Like, obviously, if you're watching live, you see instead of my face, which you're better off seeing this Matt Matico avatar that I've used on Twitter. The only time I've changed in the last decade was before that match for Johnny Gargano to put a Sabre mask on there because I'm such a big fan of him. And then people got mad at me because I changed the avatar, so I can't ever change it again. I was so high on him. I thought he would be, I didn't think he'd be a perfect fit for WWE, but I thought he'd be such a great worker that he would find the spot there. And I thought, oh, it didn't work out for him there. He's such a good worker. He'll figure out AEW, and it did not work out for them. In my dream world, he's coming back with CMLL, and he's having a bunch of matches, but like they're not going to pay him what WWE was going to pay him. And I guess like Tony Khan was like, he did not bury him on the way out. He said, we tried to work out a deal. It did not work out, but we wish him well. So maybe he'll go back there, but I can't see him fitting in there that well either or be happy there. I'm sure Roosh would love to have him back and be back teaming with him. Sammy Guevara might get kicked to the curb. I would love to see him CML. I have no idea where he's going to go at this point. It just like maybe New Japan. I think New Japan could use him, and I think he liked his time there too.
Yeah, I'm looking more at New Japan, who definitely need top guys there. They are struggling right now. You know, they haven't got their younger guys over. A lot of your top guys have left. You know, Okada's gone, Ospreay's gone, Naito's gone, Tanahashi's going. I think that would be the best move for him. And, you know, you don't need to focus as much on promos and that kind of thing in a New Japan. AEW, I think Tony Khan's being a lot more selective on who he brings in now. I don't see him signing Andrade back. It didn't work out really the first time. I'd say New Japan would be my option unless he ends up going back to CMLL. But obviously there is the tie-in with both promotions with AEW, right? Both CMLL and New Japan.
Yeah, I think CMLL would love to have him back, but it's just like what he's been paid in AEW and what he's been paid in WWE, they're not going to come close to that. And they don't really have to come close to that because they're doing so well with what they have that they're not going to break the bank. But something where he makes some selected special appearances would make sense.
Absolutely. Well, Cubs fan, thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun. It was great to chat to you, and I'd love to have you on a show again sometime down the line. Thank you for making such a great post-wrestling debut. If you have any final thoughts or any plugs of what you've got going on and where our audience can find you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This is a great time. You can find me at Twitter at LuchaBlog. You can find me at LuchaBlog.com. This is a busy stretch for me, or for Mexican wrestling more. So we have this World's Collide show. I'll probably have a lot more to write about it on Monday. And we also, this Friday, has CML's anniversary, which is their big show of the year. So I will have a big preview and a lot of stuff about that in the next few days.
Awesome. Sounds good. Looking forward to it all. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in chat today on this Saturday. I see all of you, Liam, Kale, JNP, Big Mac, Scrap Wrestling. Thank you, Jack, as well. Thank you all for joining in the chat today. We really appreciate it. John and Way obviously will be back for Rewind a Raw on Monday. I'm sure they'll be giving some of their thoughts on Worlds Collide as well as the departure of Andrade. So check them out. And if you don't already follow my stuff, please do. I host a little show on this very network called Up Next every Tuesday. This Tuesday, I'll be joined back with Braden Harrington as we'll be recording in Ottawa, as we've got a little job going on there. So we'll be reviewing the NXT show, NXT Homecoming this Tuesday. But you can find our other work over at Poison Rana. Go to poisonrana.ca or search for Poison Rana wherever you find your podcasts. We have a bunch of shows on there. We do our weekly Sunday news show. I'm skipping it this week because Braden's still away and I recorded this show, but we'll be back next Sunday with that. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/poisonrana, where we have so many things going on. Just released our show, Best Match Ever, AJ Lee, where I was joined by B Detroit to talk about the best matches and moments of AJ Lee's first run in WWE. Including a really good match with Naomi, a little hidden gem from NXT. We've got our John Cena show that's ongoing. The Champ is here, where we're going through every single title reign of John Cena. and then a bunch of movie reviews and old wrestling reviews for you to enjoy as well, including our review of Wrestlepalooza 1997 from ECW. You can check it all out at poisonrana.ca. Cubs, thank you very much for joining me. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And as to you guys, thank you as well. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. Ahoy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.